You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Premiering in September 1985 and running for 180 episodes through May 1992, NBC's The Golden Girls became an unlikely hit with viewers, a critical darling, and it revived the careers of the series' four lead actresses, all of whom were over the age of 50 when the series began. Not too shabby for a sitcom originally conceived as a joke about senior citizens. Although it wasn't obvious at the time, the show also had incredible cross-generational appeal, particularly among women and gay men, who found kindred spirits in the four bold main characters and inspiration in their unbreakable friendships. 30 years after the final episode aired, The Golden Girls remains one of the most beloved sitcoms in television history. And now the great pop culture debate wants to decide, what is the best Golden Girls episode of all time? I, too, would prostitute myself for tickets to meet Mr. Burt Reynolds. I'm your host, Eric Resniak. Please welcome my panel for this episode. He's always better late than pregnant. It's Curtis Creekmore.
Eric, there is a fine line between having a good time and being a wanton slut. I know. My toe has been on that line.
I just have one thing to say to you, Curtis. Condoms, Curtis. Condoms, condoms, condoms. Our next panelist is cuter than an inner uterine. Please welcome back Jake Petticelli.
Eric, inner uterine doesn't just belong in a song. It belongs in every song.
It does. And in case you don't know Jake, folks, he's serving so much fish that he is also a great place for a seafood meal. He kicks Sonny Bono off his lanai many times. Many, many times. It's Johnny Minogue.
Lyle Wagner couldn't even set foot on my property without turning on the bark bell.
Okay, but what about Dr. Harry Weston?
Ooh. Oh, as long as he brings Dreyfus.
You can find him at the Rusty Anchor trying to pick up a lonely seaman. It's Kevin Dillon.
I'm from the South. Flirting is part of my heritage.
That may be true, but I don't recommend the crabs, darling. So how does this work? Since this is a mini-sode, there was no public poll. Our panelists made a list of their individual top 15 Golden Girls episodes. We compared notes and created a collective top 16. We added the episodes to a bracket. Now we argue about it and insult each other, all for your amusement. And while I love the Golden Girls and have seen pretty much every episode of the series and Golden Palace, which is not bad, I think everybody said, oh, it's terrible. It's not bad. I do not consider myself a Golden Girls expert like my panelists, so I will not be making arguments this time. I will simply be acting as the moderator and tiebreaker when necessary. Do you want to play along at home? Go to greatpopculturedebate.com and find the polls and brackets tab. There you'll find the listener bracket for this and every episode. Make a copy for yourself, fill it out, and see if your picks line up with our panelists. Before we start, I want to ask my panelists, what were some of the Golden Girls episodes that you suggested and were upset did not make the bracket? Curtis, I'm going to have you go first.
Well, Eric, I am stunned. Just stunned. Stunned I am that we have absolutely nothing from season six. Not a single one of the episodes that anybody picked. I had three of them. Specifically, Ebb Tide's Revenge, which is the episode where Sophia's son Phil dies, so she has to deal with her animosity towards Angela, his wife. Sister of the Bride, where Blanche's gay brother Clayton plans his ceremony with his boyfriend Doug. And one of the best episodes, I'm really surprised it didn't make it, Henny Penny Straight No Chaser, where the cast has to play Henny Penny for a whole bunch of kindergartners. I think it's just a really cute episode. But honestly, I'm so excited for this. This is going to be one of my favorite episodes that I think we've ever done.
Yeah, and I will say I was shocked that y'all did not put Henny Penny in there. That is one of those ones I feel like it's required viewing almost, like every Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving-themed episode, is it not? Or no?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, they're doing it for children's literacy.
Yeah. Oh. The children get measles, so they have to step in and perform it for them.
Oh, right. Teaching children how to read?
It's fundamental.
Well, my whole thing is they had the MMR vaccine back in 1990. So it's a little far-fetched.
But they were in Florida, which maybe was more anti-vax than we knew from decades ago.
That.
So, you know, talk about educational. Thank you for that, Curtis. Jake, what about you? What were some episodes that you were surprised did not make the cut?
I'm a big season two fan. I think that's part of when it really hit its stride. I was surprised that Isn't It Romantic, the one with Dorothy's lesbian friend Jean, where she develops a crush on Rose, made it. All I can hear is, you know, just lesbian, or when Blanche walks into the room and she's like, "Isn't Danny Thomas one?" And Dorothy goes, "That's Lebanese, Blanche."
That episode is on here.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah, you voted. You didn't vote for it.
Maybe that's. that makes this is really awkward.
No, it's okay. It's fine. Were there any others that you were surprised did not make it?
Dorothy's new friend with Barbara Thorndike.
Also on here.
Jake. Reading is fundamental. He did not go to the Henny Penny episode.
He missed the Henny Penny performance.
He's clearly had measles. I mean.
Were there any others, Jake, or?
I feel like the next one I'm just going to say.
Say it. I want to know.
Oh, God. Sophia's Wedding Part 1 and 2. I thought that was really entertaining.
We didn't bring it. That's not on here.
That's not on
and
here.
I think, okay, there we go. Good job, Jake.
You did it.
And that fun fact, that does have, I feel like, a cameo. Oh, God, who's the director of Kill
Bill? Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino. He's one of the Elvises at the end in her in Sophia's Wedding. And I just think it's a really fun episode where she gets married, she gets caught in the bed with her friend's widow Max, and it's just a whole. I thought it was really funny and. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, there you go. Our own Rose Nyland, Jake. Thank you very much. We love you. Johnny, talk to me about the episodes that you're surprised didn't make it.
I was really surprised that the episode, The Sisters from season two, episode 12, that's Aunt Angela. That was the first time we were introduced to her. So Nancy Walker, who I knew her as the bounty paper towel lady, but it was just the ridiculousness of the bringing back her sister from 30 years, and that they never talked about how much she hated her, that even though she was her favorite aunt, and Mayor Marinara, never cling to your linguine. Ah, couldn't say that to my face. It's one of my favorites. I was so surprised it ended up on here. So, yeah, all the other ones, I was like, these belong here.
Yeah, and I do think you're going to have people who are going to be very upset with certain episodes not making it, but are there any on here that didn't deserve to make a top 16? I don't think so. Kevin, what about you?
I really like End of the Curse, which is when Blanche thinks that she's pregnant, and it turns out that she's actually just going through menopause. And so I think that is one of the funniest episodes. I love where Sophia's like, we could name the baby after its father, It, Joe, Don, John, and Dave, or something along those lines. Like all these different guys that Blanche has allegedly slept with during her, like, quote unquote, fertile period. I think it's so funny. I love it's the episode that she actually submitted Rue McClanahan to win her Emmy. It is such a funny episode, and they're breeding minks, and the minks end up having sex with each other, and they're two men. I mean, it's just very much the show. And then the other one that I was kind of surprised didn't make it, there was one other one. It was the one actually that Bea Arthur won her Emmy for, was My Brother, My Father, where Angelo comes to visit for the first time, not Angela, which is such a lazy change of sister to brother names. It's so funny, but yet so Italian. And that's the one where Angelo is pretending to be a priest, and Stan comes. I don't really think there's a lot of Stan episodes, which is kind of interesting. But I love that episode as well. And that's where Rose and Blanche are doing the Sound of Music musical. And they Blanche says she's collecting lingerie for needy, sexy people.
Yeah.
I love it. It's such a good episode.
That's great. I do have a question for you, Kevin.
Yes.
How do they know that the flies are Spanish?
I don't care, Rose.
Because they're wearing little sombreros. Yeah. So with that out of the way, let's get into these actual debates. To kick things off, we'll begin with a season three SmackDown. The majority of the panel preferred season three's Old Friends, where Sophia befriends an elderly man who suffers from Alzheimer's disease. But Kevin went with an episode a little later the same season, The Artist, where the girls find themselves vying for the attention of famed sculptor and famed asshole, Laszlo Gligorian. Kevin, paint us a picture of The Artist while Jake takes us on a walk down memory lane for Old Friends. I'll have Kevin go first.
This is one I'm actually fully... I almost switched my vote, but I wanted to talk about The Artist more than anything. The Artist, I just watched... I did a whole watch of all these episodes over the last couple of days, and The Artist is just so funny. I love... The end bit is really what kind of nails it, where the artist says to them, I picked all of you for my sculpture. And they're like, oh, and they go, well, is there anyone that you're interested in here tonight? And he's like, well, as a matter of fact, there is. And the art curator or gallery worker is like, we're a hit, Laszlo. And he like makes, they make eyes at each other. And he goes to the ladies, I thought you knew. And he ends up being gay. And Sophia goes, after staring at you three naked, can anyone blame them? Blame him? It is just such a funny, funny joke. And it's just a very peak Golden Girls episode where they're all kind of vying for the same man. And there is another episode on the list that I think is just a wee bit better. So I'm very comfortable with Old Friends moving forward because I think it's a very sweet episode. And it has Jenny Lewis. So, but I wanted to talk about The Artist because I love when they just kind of beat each other up quite a bit. It's very funny.
It is. Thank you for that. Jake, talk to me about Old Friends.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think The Artist is a great episode, but I think Old Friends, what it really does well, is it balances being hysterically laugh out loud, crying, you know, funny, and also very sentimental. Curtis and I actually watched this episode recently, so it's in my memory. No pun, which is an awful joke to make. Sophia, as you mentioned, does befriend a man who has Alzheimer's disease, and she doesn't, recognize it necessarily right away because, you know, they're both, people of a certain age and, you know, just forgetting things, just the nature of the beast. But I do love as the episode continues, she does realize that, he does have dementia. And one of my, I think a really sentimental line is when Dorothy is trying to explain to Sophia that he does have Alzheimer's, but she already knows. And she says, maybe I don't want to hear what you already have to say. Maybe I'm happy not knowing anything because she already knows everything. And I thought that was really, and I thought that would, that moment when I watched it always makes me tear up. Estelle Getty did win an Emmy for this episode. I love that, this show, all four actors, all lead actors won an Emmy at some point. You know, as you mentioned, Blanche won it for Friend of Curse. And this is the one where Sophia won it. And I think she did an amazing job. Even when she tries to always do a punchline, that's kind of how she copes sometimes when things are awkward. When Alvin is crying on her just about missing his wife or realizing that he forgot her, she just says, you just cry. And I thought that was really another really powerful moment, not trying to make it off or just letting it, be that. Even though she is a feisty Italian woman, she's also really, someone who you can just, I feel like, will read you, but then give you a hug. And I think also on the other side, sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just, go ahead.
being also on the sentimental side, and the extremely funny part, I think loving having this storyline with the Sunshine Cadets. With and I find usually most child actors annoying, but I think the one in this episode was really good.
It's Jenny Lewis. She's a famous singer now. She's incredible. She's like an icon.
She was in Troop Beverly Hills. Yeah, she was. I didn't realize that she was a singer.
She opened up for
Harry Styles. She's a singer.
She's Rilo Kiley. She's Portions for Foxes. You know that song that was made famous by Grey's Anatomy? That's her.
Yep, what a thrill.
Beverly Hills, what a thrill. Thank you, Jake, for picking that one up.
But I love how she, like, you know, takes, like, you know, she holds the bear, Rose's bear, Fernando, for ransom, and she gives it back, you know, the ear. And at the end, she's like, she gives back the bear, or she tries to give back the bear, and she's like, I decided cash is better. And then Rose pushes her out the door.
Amazing, amazing. No, I was going to say that the thing about this show, and I think one of the reasons it still is so successful, so beloved, is that it is whip smart with the writing, but so there's so much humanity in it, right? Like, and yes, it sounds like this episode is kind of the pinnacle of that. Curtis, where are you on this?
Honestly, the B story in this case is what gets me. Like, I love that Fernando storyline. And when Betty pushes that little girl out the door and says, life's not fair, kid, like, that was it. That was it for me. So it's I'm so sticking good with old friends.
Johnny, where are you?
I'm going old friends for the fact that it has that perfect balance. It is like a quintessential, very special episode and very hilarious episode. And she went from the Golden Girls to opening up for Harry Styles. And what kind of a life is that? Girl.
A life well lived.
Absolutely.
And she did a video where she recreated that Daisy character.
Really?
Yeah, one of her music videos.
Amazing. Amazing. So it sounds like we are advancing old friends to round two. Next up, three quarters of the
panel around
voted for the series finale, One Flew Over the Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, part two. But Johnny preferred season two's Isn't It Romantic, featuring Dorothy's friend and notable lesbian Jean, played by Lois Nettleton. Curtis, tell us about Freddie Peterson and Cuckoo. Johnny, you'll need to break it to Rose that Danny Thomas is a lesbian, and also talk about romantic. I'll have Johnny go first.
I'm going to start with Danny Thomas is a lesbian, because I still say that when I was writing up my entire picks, I was like, when I was trying to figure out which episode what it was, I said, her friend is a Lebanese. So, but this is one of those like groundbreaking episodes, which was very unusual for the mid-80s. He had the character who came in of Jean, who is, you know, like many a Golden Girls friend, you see them once and never hear from them ever again. But she comes in and she just came from her quote, you know, partner Pat died. Of course, it has to be Pat or
Pat,
Chris.
Of course. Yeah. Was there any other lesbian partner Kyle, name in the 80s?
Yeah, Jean, maybe another one. anywho, well, there she goes. Pat and Jean. They could
image consultants.
They could make bulgur wheat muffins like nobody's business. but there was this charmingness of Jean. She comes in and she wows everyone, and then she falls in love with Rose, and of to Blanche's surprise and disgust that she would absolutely choose Rose over her. That's ridiculous. Although I think it was a little forced in the fact that I feel like they didn't really build up on the story until they dropped the ball to say, oh, I'm in love with Rose. And but still, the fact that they had a same-sex like love interest there, even though it was unrequited, really said a lot for the writers. They were not afraid to push it through and try things that were pretty controversial. I mean, it was 1986, so having something like that years before any other show was doing something like that was groundbreaking. I don't think it's going to win. I just think it's very monumental in kind of queer culture, queer pop culture, to have this there. So, you know, wherever you are, Jean, I hope she found somebody else and that her friendship with Rose, which we never heard about again, was enough.
Oh, Curtis, talk to me about the season finale, One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, series finale.
Sad. honestly, my favorite part of this episode of the podcast is that there are no wrong answers. I legitimately love every episode that made it to the final 16, so I'm totally okay with whatever happens throughout the rest of this. That being said, Johnny, you're wrong. The finale is such a beautiful, goofy tribute to seven seasons of amazing television and wraps up one of the loosest storylines. No, not you, Blanche. Will Dorothy ever find true love again? And she does. And it's in the most unexpected way of being set up against her, Blanche's uncle, played by the hilarious Leslie Nielsen. The episode has some hilarious moments that build off of the first part of the finale because it was split in two for some reason, but or maybe that was later on and it wasn't at first. I'm not really sure, but Dorothy and Lucas's name for sex, which is Freddie Peterson, which is a super funny joke. Lucas revealing that he hasn't been called a pussycat since he was in the Navy, which was really funny. And then the scene where Stan kidnaps Dorothy on the way to the ceremony by acting like a limo driver, and you got that denouement between them and like the final, he understands that she's moving on with her life and she shows that she's, you know, finally past it because she's been able to find love. It's a fantastic episode and I think it should absolutely move forward.
Jake, where are you on this one?
No, I completely agree with Curtis. It is a great combination of all seven seasons really taking several storylines and giving them all kind of a satisfying closing, I think, which sometimes a lot of finales to series don't do. So I think, as you know, if you are a fan of the show, which of course we all are, I think it gives you a lot of satisfaction in the way that only the Golden Girls can. And the ending, of course, is so iconic, but it's also, you know, when she leaves, when they try to say goodbye, you know, one, two, three or four times leaving the house, and it's just like, you know, you at the end you want Dorothy, as she's leaving, you know, to come back in, but you know, it's like, you know, it signals a new chapter in their life, which is in Dorothy's life, which I think is really also kind of the storyline of the whole show, is that these are women, you know, at a time in the 80s when you thought, you know, being 50s or of a certain age, 50s, 60s, or, you know, that was it, you know, time to pack up the bags, trade in for a new model. You know, it's, these are women who are having full lives. And even at the end of it, Dorothy has a whole new chapter for her, this whole new exciting chapter that's just beginning.
And the women go on to open a hotel, which is an exciting new chapter as well that people didn't watch, but I liked it. Well, thank you for that, Jake. Kevin, where are you?
This was honestly one of the toughest ones. I love both of these episodes so much. I am going to stick with the finale, which is what I picked, but like, isn't it romantic going out early feels kind of sad. Because it is such a really good episode. There is that, like, the classic Lebanese, which is, like, that whole bedroom scene is, like, one of the funniest sequences ever. To think she would prefer Rose over me? Who is she? Like, it's just so funny. Like, Blanche's reaction is so good. But the finale, my friend and I always say to each other, you're my sister always, which is, like, really one of the sweetest moments that, you know, like, and the constantly running in and out, and we'll talk about the finale, I'm sure, more and more, but I am going to have to give it to the finale.
Okay. And I think, the friendships really are the core of this series at the end of the day. Like, yes, it made important social statements and yes, it was very funny, but like, I'm trying to think, before this show, had there been a series that was so focused on friendship to the level that this one was?
I guess Mary Tyler Moore would be
most. It's also a workplace comedy.
Yeah, workplace friendship. Yeah, not really. I guess Three's Company?
Maybe.
Yeah, but this was unique in the fact that it was all women.
Yes,
that was
yes.
Really the thing that made it stand out.
Yeah.
The other thing, if I can, around Curtis's question around part one and part two. So to be upfront, so this actually, the One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest really should count as one episode. The only reason they're actually technically split into two episodes is in syndication, for syndication purposes, they count them as two episodes. So aired as one episode.
Okay.
And so they are actually one episode that happened all at once. But with regards to syndication, you, in case of like rights and making money, they split them up in half.
Yep.
Well, that just makes it twice as funny.
Exactly.
So, cool.
There you go. So our next matchup was a unanimous decision for season two's Ladies of the Evening, where the girls spend a long night in the slammer and miss out on the one and only Mr. Burr Reynolds over season seven's journey to the center of attention. But Curtis wants to call out Bea Arthur's performance in that episode. Do you want to say something, Curtis?
I would be happy to. Bea Arthur is a legend, icon, and has a beautiful voice. And she actually got to show it off a little bit throughout the series. But I think my favorite moment is during that piano bar moment where she sings What'll I Do by Irving Berlin, which is a perfect baritone song, just so you know. And I have performed it many a time by myself in my bedroom. it's just beautiful. I really, truly love that episode. But Ladies of the Evening is just phenomenal. So I'm not surprised that we all agree that it should move forward.
Indeed. Most of the panel wants season two's episode, It's a Miserable Life, with neighborhood battle axe Frida Claxton and her massive tree. But Kevin prefers season five's Sisters and Other Strangers, when Stan's cousin Magda and Blanche's sister Charmaine come for a visit. Johnny, tell us why, if we don't like Miserable Life, we can drop dead. Kevin, why should we all read Vanna White's autobiography and vote for Sisters? I'll have Kevin go first.
This was another one where I wanted to kind of talk about this episode. So just because I think it's so funny, Magda the communist, it is the peak late 80s, early 90s sitcom trope to delve into communism as a humorous plot, which is kind of entertaining to me. And then the joke about Dorothy saying, oh, I'd kill my sister if she wrote a book about my sex life. And Sophia going, you kill your sister over a pamphlet? like, it is so funny. And I think the thing is, I really think Blanche... I love what they do with her character. And I know a lot of people are like, prefer... the acting style of Bea Arthur or Betty White. But I really think what they do with Blanche and her siblings is actually more interesting than what they do with any of the other characters in their families. I think Blanche's family feels the most fleshed out. And I do like this. I like that this is a moment where we get to see some of the depths of Blanche and her relationships and her family. And it kind of goes into some of the things like Curtis mentioned, missing like the episodes with Clayton, which are great episodes as well. And, you know, I also think the other episode is probably better, but I did want to bring this episode up. And I thought it was, I think it's a great one. I think it's super funny. It's one of those good later season episodes, which is harder to come by in an individual aspect, but always a nice beacon of laughter.
For sure. Johnny, what about Frida Claxton? Which, sidebar, is there a better name for a bitch of a neighbor than Frida Claxton? Like, that's good writing.
It sure is.
Oh, you can't spell laxative without lax. And that's where you get the prune Danish that she ever so wanted. This is why I picked this episode, is the absolute insanity of this bizarre neighbor who, again, once and out, well, granted, she's, you know, she died during the town hall. But those poor Menudo people, they couldn't get a break. It's like, hasn't Ricky Martin had to deal with enough shit?
certainly lately.
Timely.
But I mean, first of all, you have a group of people. You have the group of girls trying to save this tree, and then you have the woman who every single kid in the neighborhood dressed up as last Halloween because nobody likes her. But Rose, you know, dear sweet yearning Rose tries to win her over and get the tree not to be taken down. But you know what? Cement's cleaner, so Frida Claxton makes sure that they tear it down. And when she tries to tear it down, and then Rose tells her to drop dead, well, there she did. I think the second part is actually even better when she dies and everyone's like, well, she killed her. And she goes, and they have to go to the Pfeiffer. The Pfeiffer mortuary. Good thing I had my filter on there.
Yeah.
When I said that, because it is not silent. And adding in just the ridiculousness of, hey, Pfeiffer, you want to punch in the face for trying to help get a funeral for mother. But the best part of it was during the funeral where nobody came, which was on Friday because they were watching the Cosby Show on Thursday night. Her friend comes in and put the eulogy of how she worked in a leper colony and gave all her money to charity anonymously. And Celia Rubinstein loved all mankind. Sadly, Celia Rubinstein was down the hall and finding it out, the lady who we never found her name kicked the pine box that was $200. Now it's worth $150. Then they hired a high school student to do all the burials, and they actually cremated her. But in the end, it saved the tree because Rose, in her infinite wisdom, it's buried in there. She made it her final resting. I mean, it's from start to finish is buffoonery. It's stupid, but it's beautiful. And then don't worry, because the actress who Nan Martin came back and she became Italian or Italian-ish in season 6, playing Sophia's friend Philomena. So, you know, on the Golden Girls, you're never gone.
Happy endings, and not happy those types endings. Of happy endings, boys, but the happy endings for the Golden Girls and their contingent. So with that being said, Jake, where are you on this one?
No, I'm definitely, in It's a Miserable Life, that camp. I just think that the scene where the woman comes to the funeral and doesn't think she's at the different funeral and kicks a casket is one of my favorite scenes in the entire series. But I think my favorite scene in that episode is when they're back in the courtroom right before Rose kills her. She says, Blanche is like, you know, I think I'll have a better chance. I happen to be a wonderful orator. Two of the commissions can verify that. And Dorothy goes, Blanche, orator means speaker. And Blanche, really? Oh, I thought that meant something. I'm going to let somebody else do the talking.
So that's one vote for miserable for you. And Curtis, what about you?
Vixen's story of a woman is nothing but a vulgar collection of perverse sexual acts that are sheer and utter filth.
I really wish, Kevin, that I could give my vote to to yours, but I can't. I love
I agree
so much. So yeah, I'm gonna stay with It's a Miserable Life.
All right. Next up, the majority of the panel wants to crack the code with season 7's murder mystery episode, The Case of the Libertine Bell. But Johnny prefers season 3's Dorothy's New Friend, featuring local author and renowned racist Barbara Thorndike. Curtis, take the silverware out of your purse and stump for the Libertine Bell while Johnny dons his powder blue tux and reps for New Friend. Johnny, you go first.
Oh, so this is one of my favorite episodes for a very bizarre reason. It's an inside joke with a number of my friends, including my drag mother, just talking about Barbara Thorndike and the Mortimer Club. What goes on at the Mortimer Club? Well, you'll find out soon enough. So this is just another one of those one and done friend episodes. And I feel it's interesting that we've had a number of them on this bracket of these one and done episodes, which kind of fit the narrative. It's like Dorothy's just feeling bored. She just doesn't feel like she is having any sort of excitement in her life. The masquerade ball where she gets to be a horse's ass just isn't really jazzing her up as it used to. But she met this it's not really said maybe drama, like a drama writer. I felt like it was a poor man's Jackie Collins or something, but in any event, Barbara Thorndike, who is a local Florida author, and she and Dorothy connect, and she comes over, Barbara, and is very unimpressed by any of Rose's or Blanche's stories. She thinks Rose is a nitwit, and well, everyone thinks she is, but even more so, trying to explain to Blanche what a metaphor is, and Blanche says, I know what a metaphor is, I'm not a dummy. And then Blanche goes, well, a metaphor is like, it's not what you mean, it's actually what it says. Like, for example, men say, men are blinded by my beauty. They know I'm not really blinded. They get it back in the day or so. And, and so at the end, you find out that this, well, very intelligent, however, extremely racist and horrible woman will not be taking Sophia's new date, Murray Gutman, because he's Jewish, and the Mortimer Club is restricted, but they have a great breakfast in the parking is free. Really, honey? Is that it? Parking is free? It's like, no. So she tells her to go to hell. I think the one fun note about this is that the actress who plays Barbara Thorndike is the real life wife of Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World.
Oh my God, stop.
And both of them are still alive and both of them are still together.
That's so amazing.
It is amazing. So, but like, I feel in the back of my head, I go, maybe Mr. Feeny made Barbara Thorndike a better person.
Oh, I like that. I like that headcanon better than where I thought you were going. I was like, I cannot see a world where Mr. Feeny is racist.
No. Mr. Feeny brought Barbara Thorndike back to Earth.
Oh, we appreciate that. Well, thank you, Curtis. Talk to me about your episode.
Eric really wants me to snatch you ball, Johnny.
Do it.
The case of the Libertine.
I've already done that, honey. Yes, you can't snatch me any more bald than I already am.
For you listeners, that was the joke. The case of the Libertine Bell is, in my opinion, one of the strongest episodes of sitcom history. Love it. The plot of the episode capitalizes on the strengths of every character that has been set up until that point. The script is hilarious and it's a laugh a minute. Every joke lands and it's a knockout. I love it top to bottom. So in this episode, Blanche is invited to a murder mystery weekend and she needs to bring the girls along to get the group rate at the hotel. So they thankfully all agree. Blanche hopes to use this trip as a means of getting into the pants of the museum's director of acquisition to secure a promotion and a raise, if you know what I mean. Of course, hijinks ensue, and Blanche's bitchy competitor for the job, that bitch Posey McGlynn, accuses her killing Mr. Nesbitt. My two favorite parts of this episode are when Rose does a callback to Blanche's earlier statement about the reason that she stole Rose's earrings when she sprayed the defogger on the mirror. And she's like, well, Blanche, it could be one of two things. And she kind of gets lost along the way. And she's like, I did it because I was mad at you. It was just, it's very funny. And then when Sophia tries to pick up her purse that's full of silverware, I'm a sucker for a little bit of physical comedy. And just watching her tug on that purse and then ask Dorothy to come over and pick it up. Those two moments are hilarious. And they are a button on what is a phenomenal episode.
Jake, where are you coming down on this one?
No, I'm definitely a fall on the team of the case of the Libertine Bell. I think it is such it's the last season, and I think, as Curtis said, it builds on all the characters' strengths and storylines and what you just know about them as their personality. I think, you know, speaking that Mira had a really good cameo, but not just with Rose, kind of. I love when Dorothy says, you know, every morning I hold it under Ma's nose, and if it fogs up, I start the coffee. but I think, you know, each of the characters equally have a great time, and I love an episode where there isn't really exactly one main character. All four of them were at their best. And it's nice to see them at that last season.
Yeah. Kevin, what about you?
case of Libertine Belle, hands down.
All right. So I will say this, Johnny, you're saying we've had a lot of these one-off friend episodes and you find that interesting. And I wonder if it's because those episodes, and this is just me completely spitballing, but maybe those episodes underscore the true friendship that the four of them all have by, like, it's a reminder not to take for granted the, like, core friendships you have for these weirdos that come in and out of your orbit. And you're just like, who is this loser that is in my life right now? I could be completely overstating. Maybe they just wanted something entertaining for the week. But
no, I think you're right on that. I think it just adds in a little extra jolt, because if it's just the four of them all the time, you know, it's not necessarily going to heighten how much they actually mean to each other, especially if you add in, you know, Mrs. Feeney. So
exactly. Yeah. All right. So most of the panel wants to advance season 5, Sick and Tired Part 2, where Dorothy finally learns of her chronic fatigue syndrome diagnosis. But Johnny wants season 4's Yes, We Have No Havanas, the episode chronicling the torrid love triangle between Blanche, Sophia, and that Cuban snake Fidel Santiago. Jake, tell us why you're not sick and tired of Sick and Tired, while Johnny lights up a long, thick Cuban, if you know what I mean. I'll have Johnny go first.
Fidel Santo Domingo. Santiago. Oh, whatever. I don't think this is going to go forward. I just kind of wanted to more talk about this because it one of the things about this episode is that it really helps to highlight the, you know, the sexuality and the actual of two very different characters, and how they, no matter, even though that Blanche, she is the young, quote, young, sultry woman, and then you have that she was being competed out by this raisin and sneakers, I really enjoyed, and there's some of the lines that I remember from this. I remember one line from this episode from when I actually saw this as like 11 years old, and it was, but if you excuse me, I'm gonna slip into a hot sultry bath with just enough water to cover my perky bosoms.
You're only gonna sit in an inch of water.
I remember that, and I didn't know why that was funny, but I thought it was funny, and I remember that for well over 30 years. And to tie into the "It's a Miserable Life" episode, at the very end, they end up at the Pfeiffer Mortuary again, which it's with the really, we can tell, this is the thing I didn't mention before, but it's so cheaply done that you can tell that the all the prop master and the set designer just took rolls of cardboard and spray painted them gray, and they're like, oh, we'll put them up, it'll look fine. It just goes to show you that how bad TV was 35 years ago, that it's like you probably wouldn't be able to notice them, but you can definitely notice now. And yeah, so anyway, I'm not going to talk more about this episode because, quite frankly, I don't want to listen to any more of Curtis's nonsense because, bitch. And so I just wanted to talk more about just kind of those couple of lines and just how I really kind of just enjoyed it. So, but I completely agree. Sick and Tired is probably a more impactful episode. So,
Jake, do you want to talk about Sick and Tired?
Yeah, as I think we were talking about earlier, and really what Golden Girls does best is that they can really balance heart and humor. And I think this episode really does it well. Particularly, there is one scene in general that really just, I mean, this episode is laughter every second, but one scene that really solidifies this being on the list and going forward doesn't even have to do with Dorothy and her chronic fatigue syndrome. It's with actually Blanche and writing her book, Everyman's Work. And I just feel like when she's up for 72 hours straight and just writing a book, and then just is basically hallucinating in the kitchen, and just like her brain is gone, her body is limp with exhaustion, and she's like, I suppose all the greats know this feeling, and I've decided not to sell my book. It's too good. They can publish it after I'm dead, like Vincent Van Gogh.
I love that line.
No, and then I think that, and like Rose is just trying to put her to sleep, and she's like, "No, Rose, just read a few pages. Just, you know, look anywhere, and the magic will hit you." I just think that whole scene is hysterical. And fun fact, it's actually Rue McClanahan's favorite episode.
Oh,
she loved being disheveled, and so like kind of like it was a different, it was something different for her character. And she, looking back, she said that was her favorite episode in the series.
Cool. All right. So, Curtis, where are you on this one?
Well, Johnny didn't want to hear me. So I'm definitely with Sick and Tired Part 2. And was this also one of the ones that wasn't originally split and it's just Sick and Tired, or did they actually split this one? Kevin, do you know?
That I don't know. Okay. Usually with a finale, it always filmed. You usually aired in the past. Finales were always an hour. And then for syndication, they split them into two. This may have been one where there was like a little bit of a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. So that's possible because it was it the end of the season or the first episode?
Well, it was in season five.
I think it was the first episode of season five.
If it was the first episode, it may have been one long hour long episode.
It was an hour long episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep, season five, episodes one and two is what's listed on IMDb.
Yeah.
Well, I love it, so I'm voting for it.
Kevin, what about you?
Eric, there are little balls of sunshine staring back at me, so I'm going to go with sunshine in my pocket and go with Sick and Tired, okay. Yes.
Our panel is evenly split between the series pilot, season one's The Engagement, and season two's The Actor, where the girls once again vie for the attention of the same gentleman, this time the sultry Patrick Vaughn. Curtis, do your best impression of Coco and give us some cheesecake. Busty, I mean Josie, I mean Jake, tell us why we should all swoon for The Actor. I'll have Jake go first.
I believe I bust your bosom. I think this episode is hysterical. Again, season two I thought was a really strong season, and I just think that all the girls, kind of like, you know, with the case of the Libertine Belle, it's a story within a story, and I love seeing all the girls kind of fawn over a celebrity. I think whenever they've had interactions with or cameos with celebrities or fake celebrities, such as the case of Patrick Vaughn, I think they always do a really good job, and I just love how he kind of like plays off all three of them. And my favorite part is when he comes over their house and Dorothy catches him trying to Blanche making a move on him, and he throws him off the couch saying, and they have to go through this whole bit about I know I dropped my contact and this whole thing. But I just think the scene with them all auditioning for the part of Josie, I think is hysterical. And yeah, it's a really good, and also as Sophia dressing up as a pirate too, Vasco da Gama.
Yar.
I'm filming the Pirates of Penzance across town.
Curtis, talk to me about The Engagement.
So this one is a challenge because I really love The Actor as an episode, and I honestly won't be upset if it ends up moving forward, but I wanted to give a shout out to The Engagement because it's the pilot of the series, and pilots are notoriously hard. If you look at most successful sitcoms that sit in the upper echelons of TV fame, there are some sweaty pilots out there. 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, The Office, and even older shows like Friends, Cheers, and Seinfeld all got off to a pretty rocky start, and they ended up being really fantastic shows. But the Golden Girls flipped that script, and while I think the writers were still finding their footing in the first episode, it's still strong. It accomplishes the goal of introducing us all to the main characters of the show, gives us enough backstory to understand what they want, what their goals are, and it hooks us for the next episode. Like, I wanted to watch more. And I'm personally really glad that they got rid of the character of Coco, because he was chaff. Somebody had to go home first. And I think he would have taken away from the chemistry that the girls had together. He was also a terrible stereotype of an effeminate gay housekeeper, which probably would have ended up hurting the series later on if he had stuck around.
But yep.
I think The Engagement is a great episode, and it's an amazing pilot for what became, in my opinion, one of the best shows of all time.
Kevin, where are you on this one?
This is tough, because these are both very good episodes. And Curtis, you're spot on about pilots being messy, or it's very interesting because the Emmys tend to award best writing to a lot of pilots. And I think a lot of pilots are pretty bad. But this one is very good. I actually think it's probably one, you're right. I think it's one of the strongest ones outside of Coco, which he's so not in it or not present in my opinion that it I don't really think about him. And the intro to Sophia is very good. And like, my home burned down and the guys and her, oh, that's terrible. Not to me. It was a retirement home. You know what they do when they set off bells in a retirement home? There are people whose heart pacers can't take it. Like, it's just a very funny episode. But Blanche's bosoms getting popped. You slept with the sheriff? And just them chasing him out. And then Blanche running around like she's Dopey and Snow White to get a secondhand kiss. I'm gonna go with the actor just because it is one of those episodes that I could watch. I do watch on repeat. If I'm like in a bad mood, that episode just picks me back up.
All right, same. Johnny.
Well, I would also like to mention that the engagement, from what I was looking at, was the only show from season one that was on this bracket.
Oh,
that really speaks a lot. And quite frankly, I agree that this should move forward. We'll see if it does. But it is the best. It is the most rewatchable of all of, for me, of all of the episodes of season one. You have, yeah, you introduced Sophia, who was crazy baddie, and she needed $67 for a tip because it was an extra tax for a bilingual driver. And she was like clockwork too. Every morning at 7, she pees. However, she doesn't wake up till 8. That's another one I remember from when I was a little kid. You just see toilet humor when you're a little kid, and that's all you need. And you got you locked in, and it got you a good, you know, understanding of who at least the three core women were. And let's not forget, Meshach Taylor, the first of two Designing Women Golden Girls crossover events, one with Alice Ghostly later on, and he shows up and calls her Blanche Hollingsworth, which was not her name at that point. But in any event, the Golden Girls are full of lots of little holes like that. But for the fact that it did start off so strong, and I think it is the strongest episode of season one, I'm going to vote for the engagement.
So we're at a tie, correct?
I believe so, unless Jake switched.
Jake, are you sticking with the actor?
Yeah, it's the one. Like I said, it's one of the, you know, like just echoing what has already been said. It's one of the episodes that I watch if I ever am in a bad mood, and it's just so easy to watch too. And I just think that the guest acting is so well done. I'm team the actor. So Eric, you're gonna have to do the tiebreaker.
I'm the tiebreaker here, and I'll say that this is why I get paid the big bucks, ladies and gentlemen. The way that I'm distilling these arguments is that actor is super funny and very rewatchable, and just kind of like the show firing on all cylinders. Is that the argument here?
Yes,
I would say so.
And I think the engagement is important historically, as it's the pilot. It does a lot of establishing work. The script is still very zippy, and it is the best of season one. And if we want to continue, then, not having season one on the bracket is kind of a loss. My response to that, if this is defined the best Golden Girls episode, I'm going to go with the show at its peak. And for that reason, I'm giving it to the actor. Sorry about it.
I am not mad. I said, I love that that episode. It's fantastic. So I'm totally happy with it moving forward.
Great. So finally in round one, another even split between season three's Grab That Dough, which sees the girls head off to Hollywood for a chance to win big on a game show, and season two's To Catch a Neighbor, giving us a glimpse at a young George Clooney. Curtis, don't ever touch your buzzer again, but do tell us why you grabbed that dough. Kevin, plant a bug in our ears for To Catch a Neighbor. I'll have Curtis next. Curtis?
Once again, there are no losers here. I love both of these episodes, but my game show loving ass chose Grab That Dough because it's just so funny. The airline losing the girls' luggage, and then they lose their room because they missed the 3 a.m. cutoff, and then they have to pay like $75 to be able to sleep in the lobby, and then they get their purses stolen. It's kind of a comedy of errors in the beginning. And then Dorothy and Blanche ditching Sophia and Rose to go with the Kaplan brothers. No, not the Gatlin brothers, Rose. And my favorite line from the entire episode, better late than pregnant.
Pregnant.
In that moment, Rue's physicality in that scene, the face that she makes and the way that she slaps her buzzer and spits out the word pregnant is just
It's comedic genius. It's just a tiny moment, but I go back and watch that moment and just laugh. I love, love, love this episode so much. And having just been on a game show myself, I can tell you that this episode is totally true to life. That's exactly what it's like.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I am so glad.
I didn't realize Naked and Afraid was a game show, Curtis.
Curtis, you were on a game show? Do tell.
Yeah, no. I was on a game show, Kevin. Thank you.
I love that you got that in there. I am so proud of you. We are firmly team get that attention, bitch. So yes. Good for you, Curtis. Kevin, talk to me about To Catch a Neighbor.
They're talking about a noodle head in the red dress. Could that be code for something? Only to the noodle head in the red dress. I think this is another episode that I turn on that I just genuinely enjoy. I really like the Dorothy dating episodes, or where you find a guy who she's into. Because I find them both, they're both very sweet and very like blunt. And like, you get these men who are like these very interesting, old school, yet very like typical, but also like off the beaten path kind of guys, like Jerry Orbach and Leslie Nielsen. And I think they're so funny. I mean, so the premise of this episode is the women invite the McDowells, their new neighbors, over to dinner. And in the beginning, Sophia essentially chases them out and saying they've worn their welcome out and like slams the door behind them. And it's very funny. And then all of a sudden, the cops come to their door, and George Clooney is like, the McDowells aren't who you think they are. And Rose goes, you mean we invited the wrong people over for dinner? and he says that they're jewel smugglers. It's this very weird episode that ultimately becomes very funny because the police do a sting in their and end up staying in their homes. And they end up taking a room in their house, and Sophia says, fine, we'll pee in the plants and cook in this other room. And like, they basically invade their life, and it's very funny. This is where the most, in my opinion, commonly used gif of Blanche spraying herself with the water bottle comes from, where she gets all hot and bothered while talking about how hot Dorothy and the police officers flirting is. It is incredibly funny. And then even in the end, they bust them up. And Sophia says to George Clooney, you idiot, they teach us in kindergarten how to dodge a bullet. And Rose goes, really? In kindergarten, all we had to do was promise not to eat paste. And it is just a very funny, like, joke machine of an episode. I agree with Curtis. Both of these are very good. This is my preference of the two, and the one that I watch. And it isn't even for George Clooney, because it's just George Clooney playing George Clooney again. But it does even have its sweet moments, where like Blanche goes to like tuck him, quote unquote, tuck him in, or like say goodnight to him. And she like, it becomes very motherly. And you're hearing this in this episode. My affinity for Blanche as an adult grows more and more. And I love getting to see the softer sides of her, and that you get to see that here, and you get to see all of them do and have their best moments. And I just love this episode so much.
All right. Let's see, Jake, where are you on this one?
Yeah, I love To Catch a Neighbor. It's something, again, I think it's very, very watchable, as all the episodes are, but in the same way that the actor is. It's something that is just such a comfort to watch, and I think it's because it's like, we're defining this episode as the best of the Golden Girls, and I think this is when they're running on all cylinders. I think it's, you know, one of the best written episodes, and I love the part where Martha McDowell comes back into the house after they all know that she is stealing gems, and she's like, why is everybody staring at me? And Blanche goes, well, because your handbag doesn't match your shoes. And Dorothy goes, we're a very fashion conscious neighborhood. And I mean, those shoulder pads in every episode, I mean, were just like, you know, a staple of the 80s. So I mean, the show in itself is so such an iconic for its fashion. So I just think it's very, it's hysterical. And I think Sophia has a great spotlight in it. You know, and she's like, I'll work alone. When she's trying to, when she helps like the girls get out of, when she comes back in, the girls are kind of like speechless of what to say and she saves them all.
All right. So I'm guessing you're voting for To Catch a Neighbor. Okay. Thank you. Johnny.
Grab that dough. Grab that dough. Grab that dough. I also have been on TV before. And I remember when I went to see the Ricky Lake show, I got to see firsthand that, oh, yeah, that's what they do. They run right off stage right when they're done for the commercial break. Also, my favorite moment is in the hotel with the very kind of pursed lipped receptionist at the hotel, and she's like, hello, welcome to the hotel.
Yes.
Oh, you will, for $75 you can stay in the lobby and I will not have you arrested for trespassing. And she's like, that's a lot of money. I know, that's what I wanted. And she just turns on a dime. I was kind of, I enjoyed that. And that she is, and Blanche is a woman of Anja Dickinson, and she is eating her way through behind the Iron Curtain. I'm a game show person too, so listen to the best game show podcast too. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had a chance to, so grab that dough is my pick.
I was also on television in that episode of Cops from 1997. it wasn't soliciting. No, I'm just kidding. I've not been on TV. But this is a tough one because I feel like they're both kind of like the best of the Golden Girls. And so I feel like this one's just going to come down to preference. And like Curtis described, and I know Kevin's point, like that gif of Blanche hosing herself down, I can see that for sure. But like literally, I didn't even need a gif to, in my mind, see Blanche smacking down that buzzer and saying pregnant. Like I can see it, I can hear it in my mind. And so for someone who considers themselves a Golden Girls casual to have that type of a memory, I'm gonna give it the edge for this one. So we're gonna move Grab That Dough to the Elite Eight. And that is it for round one, folks. We're gonna take a break to get our Sprehoven Krispies out of the oven, and we will be right back after these messages.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to round two of our Best Golden Girls episode debate. Before we get to round two, let's discuss how listeners can meet you gentlemen callers and follow you on social media. I'm also going to ask each of our panelists to tell me which Golden Girl they I most identify with. And it can be a blend of more than one, because I am a firm believer that it's not like Hogwarts houses. You can be like a crossbreed, right? So Curtis, I'm going to start with you. Social media, and what is your Golden Girl that you identify with?
Yes, I'm also a Huffledore, just in case you were wondering. You can catch me on the socials at Curtitch, CURTITCH, or in the Men of Blanche's boudoir calendar, I'm Mr. October. And I would say that I am probably a combination of Blanche and Dorothy. My drag persona is one third Blanche Devereaux, so I think it is only fitting that I would incorporate her into my own personality. And I think I'm just a little bit too biting to not include a little bit of Dorothy.
Fair. I also, at some point, want to do a great pop culture debate version of the Men of Blanche's boudoir calendar. I think that would be amazing merch. So if you guys want that too, please comment on this episode and we will get, I'm sure everybody on this line would be shocked at the idea of having a nude photograph taken.
Can we audition who's going to be Mr. September?
Yeah, absolutely. You know that we can. All right, Jake, what about you? Socials, and which Golden Girl are you?
You can follow me on Instagram at jtaesu_. I am definitely a mix of Bea Arthur and Betty White, so Dorothy and Rose. Dorothy, I feel like because I can be like sarcastic, I'm a follower of current events and I'm Italian. And Betty and Rose Island because I can be a little out of space.
But you're also such a sweetheart too, and I want that put on there as well. So that's why we love you. Johnny Socials, and which Golden Girl are you?
I'm on pretty much everything as Johnny Minogue, one word, no H, just like Kylie and Danny. And I'm a Sophia. I am a full-on Sophia.
Full-on Sophia.
I mean, yeah. I mean, although I have a better skin regimen than she did, but I'm quick. Can be a little biting sometimes, but I'll give you a hug afterward and call you a pussycat.
I have a list of people that I would like you to put Italian hexes on. So can we please confab after the episode? I'm willing to pay in marinara. So there you go.
Shady Binds, Johnny.
Shady Binds. Kevin, what about you? Your socials and which Golden Girl are you?
You can find me on Twitter at ET Kevin's Mind. I'm not going to delve into the Instagram of it all because I don't want to film videos. although... maybe get at me. OnlyFans. Just kidding. I'm not on OnlyFans. Not yet. My tattoos are too recognizable. But Golden Girls combo. I used to always be like, oh, I'm a Dorothy. In fact, my friend Steven and I had shirts made up for each other where mine said, I'm a Dorothy, and his said, I'm a Blanche. And we have since kind of shifted because he's married. And so I'm probably more like 75% Blanche and 25% Dorothy, or some version of that, because I'm veering into my slut phase and I love that.
If you were not in your slut phase before, I'm so fascinated about...
I know. I know.
Her body is a temple open to anybody 24/7, day or night.
Exactly.
Listen, if you saw me in P-Town, we may be made out. It's possible.
Indeed.
Oh, that was you?
You can follow me on at Eric Resniak on Instagram and Twitter. That's E-R-I-C-R-E-Z as in zebra, S as in snake, N as in Nancy, Y-A-K. But you should absolutely follow at Great Pop Culture Debate on Instagram and at culture_debate on Twitter. We also, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm saying this, especially I can't believe I'm saying this on an episode devoted to the Golden Girls. We are on TikTok. Great Pop Culture Debate. It's happening. It's here. Do we have any content up? Not as I record this, buddy. I'm planning to start putting it up soon. So please follow us over on that. I am, much like Kevin and Curtis, both a Dorothy and Blanche collaboration. I actually have a t-shirt that says Dorothy in the streets, Blanche in the sheets. I wore it to Disney World to the delight of many a soccer mom. There you go. Like, oh, I love your t-shirt. Me too. And I was like, you wish, Tanya. Anyway.
Blood, Tanya.
Exactly. Moving on to round two of the debates. First up, it is season 3's Old Friends versus season 7's One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest. We're going to go around the horn on this one because I think we've done a pretty good job covering their merits in round one. Curtis, where are you here?
This one is really not even a debate for me. One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest is spectacular. It's the series finale. It puts a bow on everything. That's where I'm going.
Okay. Jake, where are you?
Spread it around. I mean, spread sunshine around. no, I'm sticking with Old Friends.
Okay. Johnny?
Can you hear the drums, Fernando? It's Old Friends.
And Kevin?
Oh, we are going to be at a tie. One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest.
So, okay. Tiebreaker time. I actually hate doing this. My feeling is that the final moments of this series are so indelible and so important to the show as a whole. I understand this goes against the arguments I had the last round, where I was like, we're talking about the best episode of the show, not the most important episode of the show. But I still feel like, in terms of iconicness, like that final segment where, like, they're going out and coming back in and going out and coming back in, it's like, it's very moving, but also very funny. And to me, it's kind of the best of the Golden Girls, and it's signing off on a really lovely note. So I'm sorry, folks. I'm giving it to One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest.
I'm not mad about it.
It's season two's Ladies of the Evening, which is unanimous in round one, versus season two's It's a Miserable Life. This is a tough matchup. I'm going to start with Kevin.
I am going Ladies of the Evening.
Okay. Do we want to talk about Ladies of the Evening at all? We haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about it. I'm happy to start that chain if you want.
That'd be great.
That episode is great. Starts with Blanche winning tickets on the radio. I love winning tickets on the radio to a screening with Mr. Burt Reynolds. And Blanche saying that she wants to find them a hotel room downtown. But there's only three tickets, so only Dorothy, Rose, and Blanche are going to get to go. The mention of like C-list celebrities or D-list celebrities in this day and age of like, oh my God, Dom DeLuise and Lonnie Anderson and whatnot, who were big stars in their day. Like when they were talking about these people in the 80s, they were huge.
Yeah,
Charles, they were big. Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly. And the response was excellent. It is so good. And of course, Betty White knows Charles Nelson Reilly in real life because they were, of course, probably on a game show together, on Password
Match
together.
Game for
Match
sure.
Game for years.
Match Game. They, you know, they were friends. Makes it even funnier, to be honest with you. And then Blanche picks the hotel with the most men in the lobby, and it is essentially a hooker hotel or sex worker hotel. And there are plenty of women who will take our money. Do you know what they think we are? Waitresses. And like the story about the baked potato queen, and I've never felt so good and so cheap in my whole life. And Dorothy saying she was in Attica. Attica's a men's prison. I know, they didn't find out for 6 months. I mean, and then Burt Reynolds showing up at the end. And in all honesty, yeah, like this is one of those things where I'm inside baseball, like, at that time, Burt Reynolds was huge. Like a legit movie huge star. It would be like Tom Hanks showing up on Abbott Elementary, you know? Yeah. Like, it would be like the biggest thing ever. It was huge. It is a great episode. It is one of the funniest episodes. I think beat for beat, it is second funniest episode of all time for me.
Okay, so Ladies of the Evening for you.
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to go to Curtis. Did you vote yet?
No, and the only thing that I have to correct Kevin on is it was not the Baked Potato Queen, it was Butter Queen.
Butter Queen, right, Butter Queen, right.
Butter Queen, haven't I suffered enough?
I suffered enough.
It is a phenomenal episode. I love it as well. I've kept these bitter butter memories too long. I'm also going to vote for Ladies of the Evening.
Johnny.
What was it about my story? Well, nothing. I just realized that I didn't want to be your age and still in the business. Meg made the right choice and went back to St. Gustav. As much as I love Frida Claxton and all of her Danish love, it's, you know, oh my God, it's Mr. Burt Reynolds. And I have to ask, it's like, what kind of shitty radio station only gives out three tickets and right? not four?
Right.
That's garbage.
It's kind of messed up.
It is.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I don't know. Well, anyway, Sophia got her due. So, Ladies of the Evening.
All right, Jake.
You must really know your business. Oh, yeah, Dorothy's a very experienced teacher. Everybody who's had her said she's great. Yeah, no, Ladies of the Evening. And yeah, no, Burt Reynolds all the way. I just think, yeah, it's one of the best episodes of the entire series.
Perf. So that is a clean sweep for Ladies of the Evening. Farewell, Frida Claxton. We kick your pine box out the door. next up, it's season 7's The Case of the Libertine Belle versus season 5's Sick and Tired. I'm going to start with Johnny.
Whew. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with Sick and Tired for I think for a number of reasons. I think one, because it's addressing the chronic fatigue syndrome that Susan Harris had, and then just the comeback at the end where Dorothy goes over to the doctor, and then his long-suffering wife, who just goes, "Shut up, Lewis," and she's like, "Yeah, she's had to deal with this crap too," and yeah, I'm gonna go with Sick and Tired, even though I love Liberty and Belle. Not now, Ma. I'm gonna stick with Sick and Tired.
Isn't the doctor in Sick and Tired also a now very famous actor?
Could be.
Hold, please.
Yeah, check that, because like watching the episode fairly recently, I was just like, "Holy shit, it's blank!" And it's like someone you would know now. Like they're a TV actor. I can't think of who it is. But that being said, while you're checking that,
Jeffrey Tambor was in the first part, but he wasn't the asshole doctor who she confronted in the restaurant.
That's right.
Somebody else.
Thank you. It was Jeffrey Tambor. It's exactly who I was thinking of. Okay, Curtis, where are you on this one?
I would like to go last, please.
Okay. Jake, where are you on this one?
Case of the Libertine Belle. I just think it's a great episode in the last season. And I just think all four of the characters have a really great storyline. I mean, they're all intertwined, right? And I just love the scene where Dorothy is trying to figure out or kind of explains how or solving the murder. And, you know, she puts like the knife over Sophia's neck, and you know, Sophia's like, "Not part of the show, people, not part of the show." You know, and she's like, "Oh, men are overwhelmingly kill their fathers, although daughters frequently kill their mothers." Case of Libertine Belle.
All right, Kevin.
This woman's pathetic. Oh, big news. Tear out the front page. Case of Libertine Belle. It is the last X to Brooklyn of Will and Grace. Mm-hmm. It is the beat per beat funniest episode of the Golden Girls, in my opinion. So that is my vote.
All right. So Curtis, we're back to you.
Okay. Please allow me, indulge me in doing a reading for you all.
Oh, I love this.
Whatever. I can trust you. I know I can. You're from Minnesota. People from Minnesota are honest. They don't lie. What could you possibly find to lie about on a farm? Must be some state. Lots of lakes and nice pale people. I'd drown myself. Read, Rose. Don't talk. I must publish a guide to go with my book. It's too full of references people could not possibly understand. It will be taught in universities. Rose, what is this? Yellow eyeballs are staring at me.
Those are egg yolks.
Scene. Thank you. Thank you for finishing that.
That was okay. A great Dorothy, Curtis.
Ow.
I'm kidding. It was a very good Blanche. You could see her heaving bosom as you were doing your recitation. Mm-hmm. So you did a wonderful job. I was just being a Sophia for a moment.
Thank you.
You're so good, you can't help yourself.
So that scene is my favorite scene in all of Golden Girls. If you were to like standalone pull it out, that is my favorite scene. And I think, Kevin, you might have said earlier that that's the one that she won. Did she win her Emmy for that?
No, that was...
They weren't winning acting.
Oh, no, she was going through menopause.
Okay. Okay. Well, she should have, because this was just so funny. I love that entire scene. But Kevin, being the jerk that he is, mentioned my favorite Will and Grace episode, Last X to Brooklyn.
You're welcome.
And it's so true. Because the Case of the Libertine Belle is funny top to bottom, every joke. It's just so good. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to go with the Case of the Libertine Belle.
All right. So that will advance. Sick and Tired is out. It is a very important episode. And honestly, at that point, I don't think chronic fatigue syndrome was something that the average American had any idea about.
No. In fact, my mom was like, "That's fake."
Yeah. I mean, a lot of doctors said it was at that point. So it actually was pretty, I mean, we've said it before, but the show really was revolutionary in a lot of ways. especially for a show that's about four women later in life, like having this much actual stakes in it is really impressive for a sitcom. So it's extraordinary. Finally, The Elite Eight, it's season two's The Actor versus season three's Grab That Dough. I'm going to start with Gianni.
Grab That Dough. I'm just not going to win, but I'm just want to say Grab That Dough one more time.
Absolutely. Grab it. I'm going to go to Jake.
The Actor.
Curtis.
But when else are you going to see Bea Arthur in a glass box slapping her hands to try to grab money? No,
they
I'm going to switch
on
my vote.
One time.
Wow, really?
No.
I know. I'm going to switch my vote. I think The Actor is the better episode here.
All right, Kevin.
I am also going with The Actor.
Okay, so you tried, Johnny, and they did grab for the dough, but they didn't get it. That gives us a final four of One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest versus Ladies of the Evening and The Case of the Libertine Belle versus The Actor. Before we get into our final four matchups in round three, we are going to take another quick break to drag Stanza Bornak. We will be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Picture it. We're back with round three of our Best Golden Girls episode debate. Let's look at that final four. It's One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest versus Ladies of the Evening and The Case of the Libertine Belle versus The Actor. Is this the final four you all were expecting? Briefly, Curtis, does this seem correct to you?
I don't think it's what I had, but I am totally happy with it.
Kevin, what about you?
I would say I actually think this is what I have. So yes.
Jake.
Yeah, no, I agree with Kevin. This is very similar to what I had as well. So I'm not particularly surprised.
Johnny.
I think the only one I actually picked was the Frida Claxon episode. I think everything else was completely overruled. So no, I'm not. I am completely shocked.
And he's.
Oh, you are the what? Who always ends up getting outvoted? Well, Amma.
Amma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say last time with me, Amma and I, we're gonna bond together.
I appreciate a good spite vote and strategy. So, so with Sophia Petrillo. So I say, be true to yourself. I love that.
I'm doing it quite well. Thank you very much.
Good. All right. So One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest versus Ladies of the Evening. I am going to start with Kevin.
This is so hard. I have One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest advancing. Yeah, and I think at this moment I'm like penciling that into advance. So that's where I'm going to go.
Okay.
Yep. I'm One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay. Curtis?
I think I'm also going to go with One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest just because that final scene, I almost can't watch it. I almost cannot bring myself to watch it because I weep like a baby every time, and that has to say something. Like it's got to say something. So that's where my vote's going to go for now. I could be swayed, but I love all these episodes. They're all my children.
He doesn't care much for Job. Johnny.
Okay. I'm going with the Ladies of the Evening, and here's why. That wedding dress that she wore is one of the absolute most gutter bucket wedding dresses ever shown up on television or in the movies.
Drag her.
Okay. Here comes Sophia. It looks like it was a bunch of streamers put together around a white sheet. My God, that was the ugh. I can't. She would look better wearing Mr. Pfeiffer's columns from the mortuary. No, I can't. Just for that alone, I'm going with the Ladies of the Evening and Mr. Burt Reynolds.
Jake, where are you going?
Well, Burt Reynolds is dead. Well, I mean, they're all dead technically all at this point.
Yeah, they're all dead.
Except maybe some of the hookers in the prison are not dead.
Oh, Meg, no, they're dead. Wrong are you out there, before Meg? Any of the others.
One Flew Out the Cuckoo's Nest, part two, I just think is, as Curtis said, it's the hardest. I also agree. It's so difficult to watch because, I think one thing that we all love about the show and that all the fans of Golden Girls, it's like our family and they're all like our extended family, our grandmothers, our friends in our heads. And, they're all there for us in the way that we need our own families, like when in a moment of comfort or if we're not feeling well. And we turn to the Golden Girls. And it's like at that episode when they say goodbye to each other and they have to keep leaving, several times, it's like you're almost saying goodbye to your own family in kind of that way. So, yeah, that one.
I agree completely with that analysis, Jake. And the fact that they're having to say goodbye, like for not just to the viewers, but to one of their sisters is really hard. It's really hard. Yeah. If it was like just the show ending and you knew they were all going to keep living in the house together, that would have been fine. Cause you're like, well, you know what? They're good. They've got everybody, right? They're going to go off into the sunset. But the fact that like the foursome is being broken up is brutal. Right? That's hard. Next up, though, the case of the Libertine Belle versus the actor. I'm going to start. Jake, you finished us. You're going to start us this time.
Oh, God. These are two of my favorite episodes. And I watched them actually both yesterday. So they're both recently in my mind. Oh, God. Case of the Libertine Belle. I just think that, it really plays in all four of their characters really well. And it's a laugh a minute, a laugh a second, really. I think this thing is flawlessly done.
All right, Johnny.
Libertine Belle.
Any particular reason or just?
I think I've already said it before. I'll say it again. Not now, Ma. That's really, that's honestly the reason why I'm picking it. I think it's that cracks me up and it's memeable.
Okay, Curtis.
I've got it. A maitre d' is some kind of waiter.
St. Olaf.
I'm going to go with Libertine Belle as well because it's a spectacular episode. I love the actor. I love when he messes up and calls her Busty instead of Josie. Yes. But I'm going to stick with Libertine Belle.
And Kevin.
Sam Spade and Philip Marlowe are a part of me. You do this on dates, don't you, pussycat? there's not a... I'm going to swear, there's not a fucking minute that just doesn't make me crack up and laugh in this episode. And it is a true testament to their friendship. And everyone gives Blanche the group rate. So Libertine Belle.
If anyone is deserving of a group rate just for the lifetime achievement, it's Blanche Devereaux and her wrecking vagina. All right. So that gives us a final two of One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest and the Case of the Libertine Belle. We're going to start in the middle of my order with Johnny Minogue. Where are you coming down?
Libertine Belle.
All right. I want to go to Kevin.
Libertine Belle. I would love to. The point that folks have made about Cuckoo's Nest is true, and it is it's more about the episode as opposed to the final moment. The final moment of Cuckoo's Nest literally breaks me, and I could not watch it. Before I built, that's the one episode I could not watch because I do think about those final moments with them, and it really does break my heart. But for me, the best episode of this show is Libertine Belle because it is the one I literally introduced it to friends on our vacation in P-Town, and they had never seen it. We were dressing up as Clue characters, and they were dying laughing. And they loved it. And it was like, this is the Golden Girls.
Two things before I get to the remainder of the votes, because that's very important. Number one, how old were these children that had never seen the Golden Girls?
Around 30. No. They had seen the Golden Girls, but they'd never seen this episode.
Okay. Thank you. Because, and Jake, I think this predates your time in the chorus. I did once have an encounter in the Boston Gay Men's Chorus at a chorus Thanksgiving with two young 20-somethings who walked in while we were watching Golden Girls and said, "What is this? Is this Sex in the City?"
And then they mysteriously went missing the next day.
Right. Well, they were no longer with the chorus the year after. Was that a coincidence? I think not. I'm not kidding, but yeah, I am kidding. They genuinely didn't know. They had no idea what this show was. Yeah. And we're just like, guys. And so I do feel like this is part of the whole concept of the great pop culture debate. It's walking the children through nature, TM Tammy Brown. We got to make sure that like the younger generations are being exposed to this show because it stands up. I think everybody on this episode would agree this 100% stands up, right, as a show. Like it is as funny now as
it 100%.
It totally does. Mm-hmm. In a way that a lot of shows, if you look back at some of the shows even from that era, but even before, like Mary Tyler Moore does not hold up. You watch that now, it's like Maude, same way. And these were all groundbreaking shows, and these have some of the same people from the Golden Girls, but this show holds up because at the end of the day, it's like just it's comedy, it's quick, it has relationships. It's kind of the same way like how like I Love Lucy is still watchable. So it's in that same vein.
There is a timelessness to it, and I put that on the writing, which is whip smart, and the cast and those performances. But like as someone who watched a lot of sitcoms in the 80s, I would not say any single sitcom from the 80s holds up nearly as well as this. We've all watched it fairly recently. Did someone just die? The other thing I was going to bring up, Kevin, was I'm so glad that you mentioned the argument about there's a scene. We're essentially arguing here a scene versus an episode, and it's important to keep in mind this isn't best episode debate. So with that being said, Jake, where are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the case of the Libertine Belle. I just think it's it is my favorite episode. And I think, you know, just to echo everyone's point, it's just so it's the cast, the writing is just, I think it's in terms of the humor, it's just so well done. It's yeah, there's no way this can't win.
All right, Curtis, you're going to bring us home.
The final thing that I will say about the scene, because I really do think that scene probably, at least for me, and I can't speak for others, that scene carried that episode through a lot of this because it's just so powerful of them hugging and Dorothy leaving and then running back in and hugging again. And there's a moment that Bea Arthur looks at the camera, or she looks kind of out at the audience as a way of like, bringing them in and thanking them for being there. And like, it's so sweet. And I get choked up just even thinking about it. It's so good. It's such a perfect ending to the series. But like you all said, the best episode is Case of the Libertine Belle. My, Mr. Officer, I do declare your sweet words could charm the morning dew right off the honeysuckle.
Not now, Blanche.
Not when.
And there you have it, folks. Our pick for the best Golden Girls episode of all time is The Case of the Libertine Belle. Do you agree with our choice? Do you think we deserve to be locked up in Shady Pines? Let us know your pick by leaving a comment on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com or yell at us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. While you're there, make sure you like and subscribe for more great pop culture debate content. And if you really liked what you heard, please consider supporting us on Patreon, which can get you access to more exclusive episodes, merch, and the ability to suggest episodes for us to do in the future. I want to say thank you to my panelists. If you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see that the biggest gifts from me. And a special shout out to Curtis for his help with the script for this episode. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinion.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.